great riches and a bad name, that's not good, right? Because again, what is the whole purpose of our Christian life and our Christian testimony? It's to influence. We want to be an influence for Christ, for good, not for bad or evil. And so here in Hebrews chapter 11, I just want to look at basically one line here and then we'll get started. But this is what we call the Hall of Faith, and it's listed. Faith is given a definition here in verse 1, and then we see that it's given a demonstration throughout the rest of the chapter then of what individuals did, how they acted upon God's word in their life. And how they acted, it was then accounted to them as faith. But here we see Abel in verse 4. The Bible says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." And we know, if you're familiar back in Genesis, what took place there. Cain and Abel, they offered, one offered the fruit of the ground, one offered the fat of the beasts. One was accepted, one was rejected. It says, "By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." He being dead yet speaketh has to deal with his testimony. You see, there's individuals that are long gone, but yet they're still speaking. Most everybody still speaks beyond the grave. "Oh, he was a good man," or "Oh, that was a wicked man." Whatever it may be. Again, you know, "Oh, he did a lot of great things for people," or, you know, "He reached a lot of people with his testimony." "Oh, he built great buildings," or whatever. "Oh, he sang great songs," you know. "He wrote great books. She did this, he did that." But the testimony is speaking, the Bible said. And so what we want to know is, what is our testimony now? And what is it going to say when we're gone? Because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. We know not what tomorrow will bring, the Bible teaches us. And so we could slip out into eternity tonight. And what we're known for today is what is going to be spoken about us tomorrow. Yes. So the question is what do you want to be remembered for? What is your testimony? You see, we are to be known by our salvation, by our conversion, that there was a time and place in our life where we repented of our sins, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That deal was sealed, amen, by the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that our brother brought out. What a great richness we have in that, and knowing that we're saved, safe, and secure. We're kept by the power of God, the Bible says, but that old things have passed away at that point in time. And now all things are become new. It's a different life. It's a different speech. It's a different service. We have different standards. Everything is different. Why? Because now we're living our life under the authority of God's word. Yes. Because if we're not living our life under the authority of God's word, then who is teaching you this morning? Yes. Who is influencing and instructing you in how to behave? In how to handle situations in your life? Circumstances or trials that you may face. Is it the news? I mean, man, turn that off. Everybody's fearful and anxious now because of what they're reading on the news. And it's like a placebo effect. You're taking the pill. And then you're getting the effects and the results of it in your life and in your family's life. And on the job, and in your community, and in your church. What is it? Who is teaching me? Who is instructing? Am I able to make decisions for myself? How do I make those decisions? How do I determine what's right and wrong? Do I let Hollywood or the media determine what's right and what's wrong for my life? Or am I going to be accountable for my own actions one day? Am I going to stand before a thrice holy God and have to give an account for how I behaved? What I did with my life? I can't say, well, what's his, you know, what's his name sang that song, I did it my way, and I chose to do it my way. Or do I want to do it God's way? Is there a creator and sustainer of all things? Is there somebody who put the stars in the heaven and planted the trees and formed the mountains and created you and I? And does he know me and does he love me? And do you think he has the best interest for me? And then so wouldn't it be wise if I then submitted myself to his authority and I then became a judge of my own life based upon his word? Because then I can have a testimony. I can have a testimony that, yes, God is the author of my life. God is the one who leads me and guides me through this life. God is the one that I base my decisions upon, why I do this and why I don't do that. Why I will go over here and not go over there. Why I will say certain things, watch certain things, listen to certain things, partake of certain things. It's because I have a Lord of my life who loves me and gave himself for me in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, where do your convictions lie this morning? What are you known for? Do you have a testimony? Well, obviously, when we think about our testimony, it's to influence. Not only are we to influence the saved, but we're also to influence the lost. And really, when you separate it, that's the two types of people that there are on planet Earth, right? You're either saved or you're lost. Right. There's no in-between. There's no working on it. There's no progressing to it. It's life or death. Right. It's light and darkness. You've either responded to the Lord Jesus Christ and received his gift of salvation, or you've rejected it and you have not. So first and foremost, what we want to stop and ask ourselves, well, what do the lost have to say about me? What do the lost, and ask that to yourself, what do the lost have to say about you? What does your neighbor who sees you on good days and bad days and sees your family on good days and bad days, sees you when the rain is falling and when the sun is shining? What about your own family members? What about on the job or at the bank or at the Kroger or the Walmart? You know, we spend a lot of time at these places. What about, you know, I'm not necessarily referring to church folks, you know, when we have time in fellowship together doing things, but those that we know have not the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because they see things. And they're oftentimes looking at you under more of a microscope than somebody else's. Right. Because you have said certain things. Right. So what is your testimony among them? Turn to Ruth now. Let's start looking at some verses of Scripture. Turn to Ruth. And if I know my Bible, I think Ruth is somewhere back over by Judges. Maybe after the book of Judges? Yes. You'll find the book of Ruth. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth, the story of Naomi and taking her sons over to this foreign land, and then the sons marrying and Ruth coming along. It's just such a great story. And Ruth is only, what, four chapters? And it's packed with so much goodness. And one of the things we find here in Ruth is about Ruth herself. In Ruth 3, in verse 11, the Bible says this, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." And she's probably like, who, me? You mean all the city knows this? How does all the city know that Ruth is a virtuous woman? They've watched her. Who is this foreigner? Because she was an outsider that's come back into Bethlehem, Judah. In She's working in the fields here, and they looked at her work ethic. They looked at it, how she acted. Remember, she left her home and her gods to follow Naomi back to the land of bread and praise. Whereas the other one didn't, the other daughter-in-law. But so what is this about Ruth here? And now she's got the attention of Boaz, a very wealthy, respected man in the community, and he says, yeah, I want you. I want you to be my wife. Because everybody knows that you're a virtuous woman. The whole city knows. What does the city know about us? What do they know about how we act? What do they know about our work ethic? Again, she was working in the fields. And so this is a great way to tie it in. What does your employer have to say about you? What does he think of your work ethic? Or she think of your work ethic? Are you a hard worker on the job, or do you complain on the job? Do you go off into the corner with everybody else and complain about, you know, the work that you have to do, or the pay that you're not receiving, or the time, you know, that you don't get off, or whatever it may be, or how so-and-so just got promoted and you didn't? And what does the employer have to say? Turn to 2 Chronicles 18, 2 Chronicles. That'll be over to the right, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 18. Here was a preacher that had a testimony. In 2 Chronicles 18 and verse, let's start in verse 6. This is your title might say somewhere, Jehoshaphat's League with Ahab, and they wanted to go and fight, and should he go and fight or not? And, you know, the prophets are saying go and fight, and then they're like, well, maybe let's find another prophet and see what he has to say. And listen to what it says here, verse 6. But Jehoshaphat said, because he had a little more spiritual understanding than Ahab, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good to me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And so they brought him in. You see, he had a testimony of always speaking the word of the Lord, even to the king who possibly could have the power to take his life or to make his life miserable. And so what do we see here? We see that here Micaiah, you know, he had this testimony of one that was known. He's gonna tell you the truth. You see, it's good when people tell you the truth, amen? Especially a preacher who's going to get up and stand behind a pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord. We want to know that it's from the Word of God, whether we like it or not. Who needs to conform? God's Word or us? We have to. And so we've seen with Ruth now, and we've seen here with the story of Jehoshaphat and Ahab and Micaiah, the son of Imlah. He said, listen, he's going to tell the truth. That was his testimony that he had. Let's turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20 and verse 6. What are all men saying about John the Baptist? Luke 20 and verse 6. Well, let's start here in verse 4. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves from heaven. They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. You see, all the people that went and heard or saw John, they realized that he was a prophet. That was his testimony. That's what, and again, what a great testimony he left behind. Jesus said about being born of women, there's not a greater than John. Right. What a testimony he had. Amen. And it's all because it's what comes from our lips and how we live our life. We're leaving a testimony behind. So what is yours? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you were." He's saying, listen, when we were out in the world and amongst the people of the world, we were not defiling our conscience. We were not sinning against our conscience, but we had a testimony that they could hear and believe and receive that we are the ministers of Almighty God. And then not only them, but he said, you also, the saved folks there in Corinth. Listen, this is their conversation, their manner of life. This is what it was in the world. And so, what do those that know not our God have to say about you? That's the first thing. Secondly, what do the saved have to say? What does your brother or sister in Christ have to say? The one that you sit next to in the pew or the one that you go in fellowship with at a church function? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. Well, let's start a little earlier, like at verse 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, because what's the point? Right? We want to please God and not men. Said, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetous. We're not out, it wasn't for our own gain. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, this is the brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. What a great testimony, amen? Yes. That group there, those apostles or those disciples that were with Paul and ministering, they were laboring, they were working, they were living right. And you know what? Everybody knew. All the saints of God knew that this was their testimony. Turn to 2 Timothy 3. Don't be known as the church member that doesn't want to get involved. Don't be known as the church member that's lazy and just laying around when it's time to do something. Don't be known as the church member that is going to be stingy and not give when it's time to give. Don't be that church member, amen, that's not going to stand up for righteousness and live holy and represent this church out in the community. Because word gets by. Word goes real fast. Things travel quickly, especially in our digital age now. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known, amen, you're acquainted intimately with what I believe and how I have behaved. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, what I'm teaching, what I'm preaching, what I believe and why. You've known my manner of life, how I live in the church and out of the church. My purpose. What is your purpose? Paul let everyone know what his purpose was. It was to preach the gospel to the regions beyond. And that he was just going to keep going and going and going. And even all the way to Rome, he said, he's going to preach. What's your purpose? That's a good one. What about his faith? He said, listen, you've fully known my faith, how I have trusted God and taken him at his word, even after being stoned, shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, hunted. You've known my long suffering, how I've put up with you and others, he's saying. My charity, my love, how I've given myself for you, how he would have even taken out his own eye and given it to somebody else, he said. My patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. What a blessing. Amen. Paul was an open book. Are we an open book, or do we have something to hide? Is there any reason to hide anything in our life? Listen, that comes back to our conscience. Can we have a clear conscience with God and with man? If we can, then listen, we can be an open book and you can be intimately acquainted with me. You can fully know me, Paul's saying. And we know Paul, do we not? From his writings. And we know many others in the scriptures because of their writings. But you know what? We know each other. But what do we know about each other? What do I want you to know about me? And what do I not want you to know about me? But most importantly, what does the Lord have to say? What does he know about you and I? Turn with me to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. You know that verse over there in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And verse 23 says, and then I will profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What? So we see two professions there. The one, people professing, hey, we know you. And then Christ saying, no, I don't know you. So what's really important? Whether we know him or he knows us. Whether we profess to know him or he professes to know us. Because there's a difference there between life and death and a difference there between eternity and heaven or hell. Well, what does he say here in Genesis 18 and verse 19? Let's start in verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Powerful, for I know him. What do you know about him? That he will command his children and his household after him. Listen, what a great place to start, amen. The father of the faith, as we say. The father of a great nation is going to be one that is going to command his household and command his children in the ways of the Lord. What? He said, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Wow, amen. I know him. That was the Lord's testimony about Abraham. I know him. I know he's going to do this. What does the Lord know about us that we're going to do or not? If God asks of us something, think of some of the things that God asked of Abraham. Remember, we're only in Genesis 18 right here. What does he ask him just a couple chapters later? Take now thine son, thine only son, and offer him up for a sacrifice. I know him, that he's going to do this. I know him. Back where we started, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll have to stop here and then pick up again next week. Hebrews 11, we read verse 4, but look at verse 5. Here, verse 5 and 6, here's just another little one-liner that has so much power to it. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. What testimony did he have? That he pleased God. And God knew this, most importantly, and others knew it too. He pleased God. Is that your testimony? I believe it's in John chapter 8 somewhere, maybe verse 29. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. That was his purpose. That was his life. And he knew that even going all the way to the cross of Calvary where he suffered, bled, and died for our sins to show his great love for us. Do you have that testimony? What is your testimony this morning? It's to be known. That's our first point. Our testimony is to be known. It's to be known among the lost. It's to be known among the saved. But most importantly, it's to be known amongst the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the instruction we can receive. Lord, I pray that you would give us a testimony of influence and of power as we try to live for you. Lord, may our light so shine before men that they see our good works. Father, then they glorify you in heaven. Help us, Lord, to be a reflector of the great love and mercy and grace found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be more like him. This is our desire, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You're dismissed.